There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Supreme Court will be the scene of a very important conversation in these next days about trade, about the tariffs from Liberation Day, so-called, by the Trump administration earlier this year. I welcome Alan Tonelson, my guide on manufacturing and trade for many years. He blogs at Reality Check. To anticipate the arguments before the Supreme Court, one way is that the Friends of the Court against the use of tariffs is overwhelmingly number of papers, I think 50, 60, some incredible amicus brief. And those in favor of the president's interpretation of trade powers, about 10, according to the reports in these last hours. However, the matter turns on larger issues as well. This isn't about just what's happening at the Supreme Court. I learned from a new article at Foreign Affairs, that's a distinguished publication of foreign affairs experts in the United States. The title is "The Stagnant Order and the End of Rising Powers" by the distinguished scholar Michael Beckley. The case is made that the superpowers of these last centuries are a product of productivity gains and wealth coming very quickly to the rising power. The United States is obviously an example. We came from out of nowhere, a colony of Britain, to be the world's superpower by the middle of the 20th century. China is an example of a superpower that fell away in these same centuries and is now attempting, with the, what you'd have to say, unhindered help of its trading partners, Europe and the United States, regaining its rising power and world power status. Russia itself, broken after the end of the Soviet Union, is regaining its power as a threat everywhere. What does that mean? It means that we're coming to an end of rising powers. The ones that are in place will stay in place, but they stagnate, is the case Mr. Beckley makes. And when you stagnate, you have several hard choices. One of them is conquest, and another one is using borderlands as a source of labor. And in our case, also, the ability to say, this is mine, that's yours. Use the courts to protect our intellectual property. Use the courts to protect our businesses worldwide with the World Trade Organization. When that runs into trouble, we get rough times. We're in rough times right now because of China's ability to parasitically take away from Europe and America what we regard with our courts as ours. I welcome Alan to comment on all these matters, but we get really to the case to be made that the populist trend of these last years, not only in the United States, but in Europe, several governments in Europe now about to fall, one of them is France, because of the rise of the populist powers, have their limits of populism. In other words, once the populists are in power, they cannot answer these hard questions any better than those who had been there before, the so-called centrists in Europe. Will that be the case in the United States? Unknown. I put all this at the feet of Mr. Tonelson because I'm asking his help into what to anticipate this week with the Supreme Court, and also how it is that the U.S. and China have now fared after the famous, iconic, and non-transparent meeting of Mr. Trump and Mr. Xi in Seoul, South Korea. Alan, a very good day to you. Beg pardon the long introduction, but there are a lot of forces coming together. And one of my weaknesses is I read foreign affairs. So good day to you. Good day to you, Alan. And let's start with the meeting in Seoul, South Korea. How did the U.S. fare? How did China fare? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John, and thanks as always for the invitation. I think that the United States fared actually pretty darn well from the Trump-Xi Jinping summit, although not quite as well as Treasury Secretary Bessent led us to think last week. And when I say that, I'm thinking in particular of his statement that the United States would not be rolling back the various technology export controls that it had recently imposed on China. In fact, it looks like at least in one case, that's exactly what happened. This past fall, the Trump administration decided to expand export controls to cover companies, or I should say entities, because they are related to the Chinese government, that were 50% controlled by Chinese entities. That's been rolled back. That would have been a very important and I think very necessary expansion of those export controls, because whenever you let technology be transferred to any businesses that have any relationship with China, you almost guarantee that expertise, that know-how, is going to be transferred to the Chinese Communist Party and probably to the Chinese military, where that's applicable. And so I think that's one instance in which the United States needlessly fell short, because as I've written, I think that the Chinese rare earth controls that they announced this past spring and this past fall were a Hail Mary, that they showed not that the Chinese have the United States over this rare earths barrel, but that the Chinese were really desperate to try to convince Washington to relax those technology export controls and the very high tariffs that President Trump has imposed on them from practically the very start of his second term in office.
The concern here is, first concern is violence, second concern is prosperity. Okay, blood and treasure. Blood first. Mm-hmm. The old rubric from the 19th century, when goods don't cross borders, armies cross borders. Are we at that level, Alan?
I think that rubric, that its value was always greatly overstated. And of course, the main evidence for that was World War I, because just before World War I, Germany and France were each other's top trading partners. Well, that didn't prevent them from starting World War I, or from, I guess I should say, entering World War I. There's no doubt that trade and investment have served as a form of what specialists like to call ballast in the U.S.-China relationship. And at the same time, the United States has conducted that economic policy so incompetently that it's wound up greatly contributing to China's prosperity, to China's economic potential, to China's technology progress, and therefore to China's military power. And so that's why even President Biden, who had long favored a much closer U.S.-China economic relationship, finally recognized that some substantial degree of what he would call de-risking and what others like me call decoupling of the U.S. and Chinese economies was absolutely essential. And President Trump has, of course, recognized that decoupling needs to proceed even faster.
And then we come to the assumptions made by Foreign Affairs that the superpowers, the U.S. and China, certainly one and two, but Russia with its arsenal three, right, for argument's sake, Europe has not mounted a sizable force for us to consider it. It could be number four, but not yet. The superpowers have reached their limits of growth, and therefore they must turn parasitical or at least extremely defensive on their borders. Is that a possible explanation for what's going on? China believed that it had to be a parasite to catch up, it did that successfully for many decades, and now we've hit a limit, and we're blocking the border. Same for migration. Our low-end jobs are now emptying because we're turning away the people who came here looking for the future. The same thing in Europe. Britain is bedeviled by the immigrants coming across the channel. And we're reaching our stagnant limits, and therefore we're arguing over details of trade. Does that make sense, Alan?
John, I would not disagree with this foreign affairs author that when you look around the world, there's a lot of stagnation, or at least potential stagnation. Certainly, the European economies are faring very poorly. They have been laboring for decades under the burden of excessive regulations, extremely low birth rates, and a failure to foster cutting edge technological innovation. The Chinese have, of course, done much better when it comes to technology, although I would argue that a great deal of it has either been extorted or stolen or actually handed to them by the U.S. tech sector. At the same time, China has got a massive demographic problem. It's a population is widely expected to shrink dramatically over the next century or so. And I know that long-term predictions of those kinds are sometimes hard to give credibility to, but demography is a pretty well-established discipline. And I think that those projections, especially in light of the one-child Chinese experiment that was conducted for so long, those projections look very credible to me. And of course, China is still dealing with the collapse of that massive property bubble. But I don't see a lot of stagnation for the United States. And especially when that author talks about stagnant productivity, it looks to me like there's a lot of evidence that this country is on the verge of a major productivity boom thanks to artificial intelligence.
We turn to what to anticipate if the Supreme Court turns away the Liberation Day interpretation of the presidential powers. That's not going to happen now. It won't happen for several months, if it happens at all. But when we come back, what if? Because our lords of production, as Alan points to, anticipate 6, 9, 12 months out. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next-day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.